Mitchell's plan is to hide yawning today because he had a late night last night.
I would never. This is professional, you know?
Professional masturbation. It has it all. good evening, all. How are we? How are we? Luke, how are you feeling?
Yeah, much better now.
Mitchell, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Bob.
Oh, shit. So glad.
How you feeling, mate?
I'm fine. I'm finding myself. I don't watch football anymore, so I'm feeling much better about life. Thank you.
Not started watching the Championship to see what it's all about for next season. Early scouting.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? It's going to happen. I know it now. I've accepted it.
I mean, I've accepted it. Without going into the games, the thing is, like, all the other teams that have come up don't look bad. Like Burnley don't look bad. Leeds don't look bad. Obviously, Sunderland are flying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
How's he going to throw a digging at me there? This guy's
actually
outrageous.
Well, no, I'll tell you why, actually, because I remember the first game, I think we had Sunderland first game of the season, didn't we? And we got beat 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were giving me proper stick about that.
Well, we didn't lose 3-0, so, you know.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be challenging for the fucking Europe or whatever, and you're getting beat by Sunderland. No, grow up. Apparently, fucking shit team.
Apparently they battered you a bit as well, Sunderland. But we'll come on to that. We'll come on to that. We'll come on to that.
It's outrageous.
Obviously, since we last spoke, Bob, you've had two matches as well, so your possible 6 points were up for grabs. For both West Ham and Bob in Man versus AI.
6 points.
How did West Ham get on with the points situation?
Clive. Zero. I didn't get on much better either. So I'm sorry to throw out spoilers, but fuck Man versus AI. Fuck this podcast. Fuck football. Fuck you guys. Mate, we're so shit. It's unbelievable. It's so.
I didn't.
So bad.
I didn't get his lineup against Brentford. Like, he changed so much.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it.
Well, the commentator at one point said about potential international break stuff, but I was thinking, well, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you're, you know, that you need to pick up some points, like just fucking play the players like that you want to play.
The trusted players. The players that are being called up for international duty because, funny enough, they're good enough to play for their countries.
Could just be just break anyway.
Yeah, well, it could be a travel. Could be travel time. Like some people got further out, haven't they? And I think possibly because of that or late flights.
I was told I couldn't use that excuse.
I'm with you. I'm just saying that managers are different than us, the way we think. May have looked at that.
The only thing I can think of for it is the fact that the players that didn't go to international duty, Nuno's got that whole week, two weeks to work with them to try and get coached him the way he wants to play. So maybe he's thought, well, I'm going to play with the players that I've had for 2 weeks or whatnot, rather than chance it with the players that he hasn't had.
That would make sense.
That's the only thing I could think.
But I think that game in particular, even more so than the one against Leeds. I mean, the one against Leeds wasn't much better in fairness, but that game in particular against Brentford, I think I put it in the chat, is probably one of the worst Premier League performances from a team I have ever seen in my life. It was so bad. We lost every single physical battle, any kind of physicality at all. We just lost out completely.
Said that about four times in regards to West Ham on these two seasons.
No. I normally say this is the worst game I've ever seen. I mean, that wasn't a bad game if you're a Brentford fan, or if you're up for looking, you know, watching a team get fucking battered, because we got absolutely bullied. It was like men versus boys, honestly. I've never seen anything like it.
Clichés.
What?
It was men versus boys. Yeah, I love it.
No, it was like it was. It actually was. I've never seen anything like it. It was completely outclassed, completely out strength, out. That everything. Like, it was just, it was so bad. We couldn't win the ball. Every time they crossed the ball into the box, I know we know about our defensive flaws at the moment, especially from corners and whatever. But every time they got the ball and every time the ball was going anywhere near our box, we looked like we was going to concede. Like, that game could have been 7 or 8 nil, I think. Like, it was honestly shocking and it wound me up so much. Oh.
One of the questions I heard on the radio that possibly that Callum Wilson's on a pay-to-play deal and that's why you keep playing the youngster over him. Now, yeah. I know for the Leeds match, did Callum Wilson actually start?
Yeah.
If that is a reason for not picking him, why even bring him in?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I honestly don't know. I don't get the logic at the moment. I think it's too early to throw shade at the manager, really, because at the end of the day, yes, we've had a couple of people come in. So
even on that point, for a pay to play, to me, that doesn't, that shouts to me as if the manager's not made that choice to play him or not.
Yeah.
He's probably being told, try not to play him.
Like, probably. Yeah.
We don't want to spend the money on him.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case. But yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I think at this point, I was saying it when Potter was here. When do you get to the point where you start blaming? Because we've had the same players. It's no different. Yes, Lopetegui done the business in that summer and got lots of players in. So that's where the kind of foundation of it come from. But you've got to have a bit of fucking fight or something, haven't you? Like, you can't go against a team like Brentford. I'm not saying that Brentford are shit, because they're not, obviously.
No,
they're doing
Liverpool
well this season.
Weekend.
Exactly, yeah. Beat Liverpool. They're not shit, but fuck me. You can't go in and just get completely embarrassed like we did.
Not unless you're playing a top team.
Like, exactly, yeah. I just can't... I didn't see us win one battle that whole game. And that is shocking to me. Like, you can't, as professional football player, even if it was a fucking Sunday league team, you would expect them to win at least one battle. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wound me up so much. I couldn't even watch the end of it. Like, I was just, had my face in my sofa and not in a good way.
So that ruined, that ruined your Monday night. Fast forward to your Friday night. The weekend's just about to start.
Yeah. Well, funny thing about that is I planned on just watching the highlights because I was so fucking annoyed on Monday. I just thought, I can't do this because it's going to wind me up.
Did you pull the Luke Jewell, I need a break from football card?
I need a break from football. Yeah, I pulled it, but it didn't work out as good as Luke's did, because when he fucking done it, Spurs actually started winning or doing all right.
Did they last season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might have been one of the four games that they won or something when he... I thought, I'm going to have a break on Friday. I'll just watch the highlights. So I went to the gym instead, came out from the gym. I was waiting for Trudy and fucking football's on, isn't it? Like, literally about 8 screens all around me, West Ham versus Leeds, West Ham versus Leeds, West Ham versus Leeds. And that weren't much better, was it? What a fucking shower of shit again. I mean, at least we got a goal. At least it looked like a little bit of it. But it's just the same old story. We need to improve defensively so much.
Did Mavropanos play last night? Because I know he went off injured against Brentford. So I've got a feeling he probably didn't play against Leeds.
No, I don't think he started, no. Hang on. Let me just double check that because I can't quite remember.
No, he didn't. No, I've got out. Not even on the bench.
Was it this game, the was it Leeds? Was it someone field that come off at 60th minute? Or was it the previous game? Because he looked like
Summerfield come off playing well. 79th minute.
79th minute.
Against Leeds, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For someone that you'd want attacking, who did they bring on?
Madagascar.
I mean, it's definitely not Madagascar. It's I actually don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's definitely not Madagascar. Hang on.
Clive, you're brilliant. We need to do a cut of all the names Clive's done. Last week I wasn't here. All I heard was Guy-hee. It was just like...
It's Magasa, by the way. who actually... I've seen a couple of things of him and he actually looks half decent. But I think Somerville is one of the shining lights of the team at the moment. He actually looks dangerous. He runs at people.
So, Somerville's definitely been the most impressive. And it's a long old stretch to say impressive on West Ham.
Yeah.
But he's looked your best player, including Bowen. Yeah. He's looked your best player recently.
I think him and Diouf.
Yeah, that's true.
Have looked very good.
Let's not use the word very.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, he might make it into maybe a championship team.
Yeah.
But I mean, he probably will be in a championship team. But I just don't know where to go from here. I think we just need to complete. You know, it might actually do us good to be relegated. Just have a fucking clear out, start over again. Just fucking go for it.
I mean,
problem with that, Bob, is going to be tough coming back on that. Not kind of tough back into the Premier League, but tough is in getting the players you want. You're just going to go back down again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to fucking go back to the Premier League. It's just too much for me. I fucking hate it. I'd rather stay in the Championship. Fuck it. Do anything in the Premier League like this, are we?
I mean, you had a couple of good seasons. You had a good run of it. Right.
And we had Moyes.
With that man Moyes.
So Nuno out then.
No way. It's the players. Like, it's got to be the players. We've had three managers now.
It has to be now. Isn't it? I mean, I've always said this, and sometimes it is the case of the players need to take responsibility for it, not just the manager's tactics.
Sometimes it's tactics and coaching, isn't it?
Yeah, but players on the pitch, where it's that hunger, as you mentioned, Bob, is not winning the challenge. Like, what can the manager do? Like, other than make five subs, you know, is it five subs or three subs? I always get confused nowadays. Five subs now, yeah? The five subs, and then see what happens and see if you bring on, like, all 6'7" players to try and win the ball in the air. It's just, what do you do if the passion's not there for the players? Maybe they're a bit defeated. Like, they lost on Monday. They lost on Friday.
Then that is the manager's job to get them up again.
Yeah.
That is.
But if you've had three managers, and each of them can't manage to build them up, like there's got to be a problem there. It's the Man United thing, isn't it? Like they were like that for fucking ages. Not so drastically in terms of how bad we are, but certainly in terms of where you would expect Man United to be. They recycled managers and there was obviously a few bad eggs in that Man United team. And I don't know whether that's the same thing at West Ham. I don't know.
I mean, not watching West Ham week in, week out. And I didn't watch United week in, week out when they had the bad eggs. But you could, like, you know, Garnacho was a bad egg. Like, anyone could see that. I don't see that with West Ham players. I don't see anyone that is... Like maybe Ward-Prowse because he's been completely dropped off the face of the earth again, but I don't see anyone in that dressing room being a kind of toxic player, really.
I don't even necessarily mean toxic to that point. I just think you need a couple of players in there that maybe will build them up on the pitch as well, right? Like, and maybe that leaders, is part of
sure.
Yeah, you need leaders. And I, like, as much as I love Bowen, I think he's a fucking great player. And I've said it on the podcast before. I don't like leaders that are leading from
attacking areas.
Forward positions. Yeah. I prefer them in defensive and or even defensive midfield positions, maybe. But yeah, maybe that's a problem. I don't know. But something's obviously an issue. And I do think give Nuno some more time. I do think he'll improve us eventually, defensively especially. Maybe not going forward, I don't know. But I think defensively he'll definitely sort us out a little bit.
I think even going forward, like you look at the way Forrest played last season, and we said it last week, if you've got a full crew in the team, he's got the option that he wants. He wants a big striker that's going to hold the ball up. That's not Callum Wilson. That's, I don't know enough about the young player that's played a couple of games or whatnot.
But he's not that type of player either.
It's not whoever you're playing as a false nine when it's Bowen or Paqueta. That doesn't suit Nuno's style. So when you've got that striker back, do you know who'd be really good for you right now?
Mateta.
Well, he'd be very good for you. Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I completely fucking agree. We do miss it. And that has been our style. Like, even when we was under Moyes, Antonio, like, as much as he gets stick, because he's not exactly like a prolific striker, is he? He'd done the fucking job.
He's a nuisance.
Yeah, he's a nuisance. He's quick. He's powerful. He, like, can hold the ball up and, you know, lay it off to Bowen or
bring
whoever.
Players in, yeah.
And it's... we've lacked that so much this season and last season as well. And to be honest, I agree to an extent that Falkrug is more of that player, but I haven't seen it from him yet either. Mm-hmm. And that's my other concern. Even if he does come back, is he going to be able to perform at that level? Because I don't know whether it's either the West Ham effect or it's just his fucking
maybe he's not
injuries
suited for
or
the Premier
whatever.
League. Like maybe
he's not suited for the Premier League. Yeah. But he certainly was impressive before he came to West Ham from what I've heard. I don't know loads about him, but he was Germany's first choice, I think, for a little while. So there's obviously something there, but whether he's that type of player, whether he's suited to the Premier League, we don't really know yet because we haven't seen enough out of him fit to see it for sure. But it's just fucking exhausting.
I got two questions for you. West Ham down this year?
Yep. 100%.
There's only one team worse in the league than you at the moment, and they are below you, and that's Wolves.
I don't even think they're worse. They beat us in the fucking cup.
It's not hard, like, is it?
No.
Let's be honest. And the other question is, Bowen to leave in January?
I don't think he'll leave in January. I think he'll leave in August.
I think if he wants a seat for the World Cup, if you are as bad as you have been by January and you're not improving, if he wants to go to the World Cup, I honestly think he's going to have to leave you.
Well, Jared, if you want to keep your wife, you know what to do.
Anybody else on West Ham?
Yeah,
funny.
One win this season, that's crazy. Conceded 20.
20 goals this season.
20 goals.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Every one of them was like a shot to my heart.
I'm surprised you've scored 7 as well. I can't remember you scoring 7 goals. I guess 3 of them was against Forest, weren't they? So,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Bonkers.
Fucking West Ham.
Horrible. Yeah, I guess, actually, we might. I'm probably going to have a leaving party at the end of this season. So if any fans want to come and join, probably go Billericay or something. We'll do a big old leaving party and maybe you can get a Brentford fan on or a Crystal Palace fan to do Londoners next season.
Yeah, maybe. Wait, I think they're a Palace fan. Do we know any Palace fans?
Yeah, I'm a Hearts fan now. So
flying at the moment. What a great win for them today.
I know, right? They're top by five points.
Beat Celtic 3-1. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
It's only the two Scottish people up.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, over to Mitchell's misery. Let's go.
We're not going to talk about it. He's got to go.
Maresca.
No.
Where did you just put him?
He's gone, mate. Right.
Under the table. Mitchell likes things under the table.
Get out of the way. I'll tell you what it is, Clive. It's the classic case of the midweek 5-1s. Liverpool did it. We did it. You always lose after a midweek 5-1. I'm putting it there
always.
Now. You always lose after a midweek 5-1. I'm sure Spurs have done it a few times because they love a little 5-1. Have their little runs in Europe and then the shit in the league.
Yeah,
that's the case of the 5-1s.
You shouldn't put Spurs in any of those stats there, mate. It's
the shit stats.
It's the shit stats.
You should be in all the shit stats.
It's the shit stats.
Well, I really don't know what to say, Clive. I mean, I'll tell you what I can say. This is me giving the official word that
you're not going to win the league.
You're out of the title race. That's it. It's
gone. You think so this
is
early?
It for a week? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so.
But you can't understand. You can't understand why. That's not just because we lost that game and we could have been, 3-4 points behind Arsenal or whatever it was. I don't know what the maths is now.
Well, if you won it,
we'd be on.
You'd be on 17, right? So you'd be 5 points behind.
Yeah. It's as has been said many times, the defence is not there. We have to outscore teams. And that was the problem last season is, you know, and it's kind of reminded me of it. This game was like Chelsea last season, particularly in the winter period. Couldn't break teams down. Couldn't get the goals. I was getting a little bit confident because of the games that have just gone past, because we were scoring a lot of goals. And the lineup looked pretty strong. And I was like, here we go, this would be nice. And even fucking Garnacho scored. And I was like, oh, how about that? Here we go. Then it was just it was just that. It was attack and defend, not breaking them down. And then fair play to Sunderland. When they get the counter-attack, they look very good on the counter. But their goal, the equaliser, was the long throw-in, the return of the long throw-in.
Gotta love that. Arsenal invented again.
Did they?
According to Jamie O'Hara.
Yeah, that guy.
Luke's his biggest fan.
Yeah.
What's that?
Luke's his biggest fan.
Oh, God, no. No, you guys, fucking delusional, mate.
I'm glad you said that, because you do say several things that are the same as Jamie O'Hara.
Yeah, well, I don't do it for clickbait.
Yes, you do. You love it. Maybe
sometimes to piss Clive off, to be fair. But, yeah, but look. It is what it is. Jamie O'Hara is just a fucking dickhead. I'll leave it. Tag it. Send it to him. It's fine. We'll have a debate with him. I'll call up. We've got his details.
Continue, Mitchell. We've got a sidetrack.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, that's more entertaining than Chelsea Sunderland. I was trying to figure out if I could. I can definitely nitpick the defending of the long throw because it was very static, and no one was getting ready to pick up the first bounce. You know, the player was free; he gets his shot off, and then I was trying to have this argument with myself, and I was like, oh, "Can I blame Sanchez, or am I only blaming Sanchez because I don't like him?" You know, because it bounces right in front of him and his hands go up here and then sort of comes down like this. And the player, the attacker, obviously is quicker than him with his foot getting up in the air and gets in. I don't know if I'm a bit
harsh. He's anticipating where the ball's going to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know why he thought he was going to go there. It's down here.
You're very critical of goalkeepers, aren't you, Mitchell?
He is, isn't he?
Just Sanchez. Use his hand. Maybe if I liked him, I probably wouldn't have a little dig at him. It's not his fault we lost the game, that's for certain. And then the second half was very much attack and defend, attack and defend. We had most of the ball, 69% possession, a lot of shots, 8 on target, which was double what they got. We didn't make a count. And then their winner. Oh my God. Do you know what? And I was watching it and I was like, that's so, I was so frustrated. It's our attack, Estevao. Oh, I got his name right every time now. I've got no issue with what he did. He has tried to take a player on, he's lost it. I'm fine with that. I'd like you to try and take players on. Not an issue. The issue is after that. They immediately boot the ball up the field. They punt it up there. You've got two Chelsea defenders and the one Sunderland attacker. he manages to get the ball before them, runs up. It's only him and the two Chelsea defenders. I can't fucking remember who the two were now. But you've got, he's, the attacker's got his arm on one of them and he's jostling and holding him off. The other one, there's no other Sunderland player in the box. There's no one else here. Go round and fucking tackle him. Go round and tackle him. It is 2v1. You're standing nowhere. You're doing nothing. And honestly, I could have written a novel in the time it took for the Sunderland players to then join for him to make the pass which led to the goal. But then when you look at the replays and they dig a little deeper on everything, you can see in all that time where the Sunderland players are running in, Caicedo and Santos, your defensive mids, the closest to the ball, they've given up. I don't know, they must be tired. Jogging back, at least Caicedo picked up the pace a little bit. I'm not going to have too much of a dig at Caicedo because he is our best player. You know, everyone can make these mistakes, but Santos, he never got out of first gear for that. And it's like, you know, it's only 1-1. It was, what, the 93rd minute? Fuck me. Pelt it up there, get in front of the Sunderland attackers, because otherwise they're free. There's no one else there. And like I said, you had all the time in the world. The guy is just holding off the defenders and he's waiting. He's going, fucking hell. Gets the free pass and then they fucking nick it.
Pull him down.
Terrible defender.
Give a free kick away.
And that point,
thing
that.
Yeah. They don't do that nowadays. They don't do it as like they used to back in the day.
I think top teams do. Like if you look at some of the challenges Arsenal make, some of the challenges Liverpool make, some of the challenges that even Man City make, if they're in real danger of conceding a goal or being hit on a counter, one of their players will give a little pull, give a little tap, like try, just as they did it today against Palace. Like there was a potential breakaway and he just gave a little, in my opinion, it would usually be a yellow card. He didn't get one, luckily for us. But yeah, just a little pull. Just stop the play. Just stop it.
Maybe Chelsea don't want another red card, to be fair.
That's true.
Well, I was going to say, but we've had so many, we're used to it. Fucking hell. That gives us a bit of rotation.
In that game, looking at it, you had one card, Andre Santos, at the 88th minute. So just take a booking.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even if you don't, it's still 2-on-1 and he's over here on the box. He's not trying to go for the shot. You've got the one defender holding him off so he can't spin around you. Go and tackle him. And even if you haven't been decisive enough to go and tackle him, the other fucking players should be running back. It's one all. It's one fucking all.
At home.
Your lazy defending cost us 2 points.
That's twice that's happened now. The Brentford game, they did that. I think they did that twice in the Brentford game, the ball over the top, when you had like Predator. If you remember when what's his name, Jordan Henderson,
was that when I moaned about Garnacho?
No, this was when we were away.
So it was just the same thing, over the top, ball over the top, and I think it was Shade, whatever you pronounce his name,
Sade,
there you go, ran and got the goal, I think it was, or something like that. But it's the same thing, ball over the top, because you guys are so attacking and it's working for you, but it reminds me back to what Tottenham used to do with the high line. Like, if we didn't have Van der Ven there to catch up with the players are gone and they're through on goal. And it's the same thing that seems to happen twice to yourself.
Yeah,
similar situations.
And it's hard when you're playing against stubborn teams who will let you have lots of the ball. Yeah. But this is the difference, is, and I think that's why Sunderland are doing so well this season, is even when they do let you have the ball and they sit back, the second they get it, they are fucking rapid. The whole team shifts and moves forward.
They've got one player that is not rapid, but he is class.
Who, your old
Granite?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not quick. I'll tell you that for nothing.
But I think what teams are doing now, even Tottenham today, to be fair, teams like yourself, Chelsea, especially Arsenal, is, well, with teams that just shut shop, well, guess what's happening? Teams are improving their set pieces. You know, they're getting the goals from the set pieces, be it from corners, free kicks, whatever it is. It's happening from that. Well, you sit back the whole game, well, we're going to get corners and we're just going to score. And that seems to what happens against these teams now. And obviously, it's working for Arsenal. Tottenham today against Everton. You know, Chelsea have been doing it this season. West Ham. Okay, we won't go there. But
we was the Kings a couple of years ago. We was.
We're every fucking
corner.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But that's what I think. That's what's happening, Mitchell. I think if you're not getting those goals from those corners and teams are shutting shop and they're playing counter attack and balls over the top, where you guys are just focusing on that attack, it's what happens.
I think with Chelsea. I was going to say, I think with Chelsea, I think you were saying, Mitchell, about outscoring teams, which obviously that is the purpose in football anyway. But I think, like, if you solely rely on that, I just don't think it works in the Premier League this year. You see what happens to people with shit defensive. It's even happening with, like, Liverpool to a certain extent, where they haven't been up to it defensively. No matter how good you are going forward, you're going to get caught out against certain teams. Especially against teams like Sunderland, who are looking particularly good, and Brentford and all these other teams.
And that's the thing. And that's the difference why you look at the team sitting at the top right now, only conceded 3 goals. That's the difference. Your last 2 results, your last 6 points, 1-0.
And the thing is,
you've got the defence there to back it.
The thing is, we never look like conceding either, but we'll come on to that.
This is the thing. We wouldn't be able to hold a 1-goal lead. We don't have the strength at the back to hold a 1-goal lead. We have to get 2 or 3 to be in with a chance to get the 3 points. That's why I said at the start that I'm officially calling it. We're out of the title race.
I said it's just the start of the season. Like, yeah. Not only your defence, but I'll give you your excuse from last season. The youngest team in the Premier League.
Still are.
You're gonna have inconsistencies with results.
I can't wait till they're all 30 and you're still shit.
They'll all be gone by then.
Yeah, that's true. They'll be loaned
on their 8th loan. Whilst you're selling another hotel to pay their wages.
Got to love a loophole.
Yeah. But that's what, to me, that I kind of saw that coming into the season. Because, as I said to you, you like Arsenal from a few seasons ago. We had a very young team. We had some very good results, but we had some very bad bad results against Bob. Bob does not like hearing the young team.
Bob called me off guard there.
Does
sorry,
not
Clive.
Like hearing it. But this
sticker in the corner.
It just means that the team's going to be inconsistent because you can't rely on the youth. And that's exactly what you're finding at the moment.
Yeah.
You go and beat Liverpool.
Silver now.
I don't even think that would help, though. Like, one player...
Silver and Chalobah in there. Because at the moment, the last few weeks, we've had to keep rotating Ochampong and what's his name?
But even that's a problem, right? If you've got...
Adarabayo.
If you've got these young players and you keep rotating, like, there's no even consistency in the back four.
Yeah, again, that's true. But like I said, 2 weeks ago now, I think it was... The 5 red cards in 6, I think they've all been defenders. And you remember when I said we've got... Don't say anything, anyone. I'm not saying it's an excuse. But when I said we've got the most injuries in the Prem this season...
None of that.
Pretty much. It was 5 of them were all from the defenders.
Cut that, Mike. Yeah.
So he probably does want his consistency at the back, and he probably wants to stick to the same back four. Certainly the back two, your centre defenders. But he hasn't been able to because of injuries and red cards. But I still don't think, anyway, even if we had consistency there, I don't know if he knows his full back four, and I don't think they're good enough, certainly not to challenge for the league. That's where we need to bolster ranks.
And you've not got a good enough goalkeeper.
Definitely not a good enough goalkeeper, no.
Anybody else on Chelsea? I'm assuming you're finished, Mitch.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm fucking
you're
done.
25.6 years old was the average Man United treble winning team. The treble winning team Man United.
We're 24.8.
Yeah, that's only a year, mate. Get over it. Get over it. Just and fucking start winning stuff. Stop using it as an excuse and start winning stuff.
They had players like Teddy Sheringham, Peter Schmeichel. Like, they had Keane. They had great experience in that team.
Yeah, Chelsea, look at all the experience that Chelsea have got. That's their fault, isn't it? Stop spending it on a load of fucking unexperienced people.
For sure.
I'm just saying you can do it with a low average
age. It's two different games. It's apples and pears. The game from the 90s is not the same.
It's football and football.
In this,
well, you'd expect in the 90s that you'd want a higher average age because you do like that kind of hustle and bustle kind of, you know. Whereas nowadays, you can get away with just being a little fucking dickhead, can't you?
Yeah, but so, the youngsters would run rings around these old fuckers a lot easier back in the day because they're all trying to push you over and they're just nip around them. Now everyone sits back.
Yeah, I'm over it.
It's not as exciting.
Anything to that, Luke?
Chelsea. Oh, thank fuck they lost.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the mighty Arsenal. Another 1-0 win. Another hard watch for a neutral, for sure, and even Arsenal fans. We didn't have control of the game at all up until we scored. But at the same time, we never even looked threatened by them. They had the ball in some very good areas. Didn't do anything. Again, Gabriel was superb. Timber was superb. Saliba looked like he had a bit of a fight with him with Mateta, and Mateta was winning the battle, in my opinion. Change it at half time. I don't know if that's an injury or tactical. Change that defender at half time. Mateta didn't have much of a sniff in the second half. So set piece once again, silly free kick to give away, in my opinion. I don't think Saka was going anywhere with the ball, but great delivery, caused a lot of problems, and then Eze's finish was fantastic. Up until then, I think Eze was having a poor game. Saka was having having one of his worst games in an Arsenal shirt, but defensively he was doing well, covering for Timber when Timber wasn't in his position. Apparently Saka's been ill all week, so that's why he didn't finish the game as well. Martinelli come on.
Martinelli come on. As his worst ever game, and all of a sudden he's ill. Sure.
Apparently so. Well, yeah. That would explain it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, another set piece goal. As Luke said, I was going to say something similar. Like, if teams are going to just defend, low block, then the use of set pieces is so important. I think they flashed the stat up that we're 17th in the league for goals from open play. So the set pieces have been absolutely vital for us. And when you've got Gabriel, who is probably the best defender in the league at the moment in his current form.
I wanted to look at Luke's face.
You just borrowed. You just, like, I don't know. What I find hard at the moment is obviously teams are working more and more on attacking set pieces. Surely teams have to be working as hard on defending set pieces. Why are teams not getting better at it?
It's difficult, isn't it? The presence in the air of these players like Gabriel, Saliba, who are like, what, 6'4", 6'5"?
We've got a big team. Yeah.
Beastie players. And it's not just that they're tall, it's just they are good at heading the ball.
And it's the quality of the ball as well, the quality of delivery.
You see the corners from like Saka, I know he takes it from the other side.
Rice,
you got quite from, well, we already know Rice has got a decent ball in him. So Rice and Saka taking it, it's difficult. And they're blocking the keepers as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other half. So keepers are finding it hard to come out, but they're doing it.
We've even kind of taken the foot off of doing that as much as well. Like, we do change it up as much as any other team in that sense, because it's only a matter of time before referees start giving fouls to the goalkeepers, right?
Like today.
Yeah, like today, yeah. I mean, it was offside as well.
But I think it might have been if it was...
Yeah, he gave him a nudge, didn't he? He gave him and
to block him, yeah.
So, I think teams... And we do adapt faster than most at the moment. We're just adapting and changing the set pieces, changing the style. I mean, the obvious tactic is hit Gabriel. If you can stop Gabriel, then maybe you've got a chance of stopping us from scoring from a set piece. But I mean, he's not the only one that scores from the set pieces. Trossard scored last week and Eze scored this week. So it's just that nuisance effect as well. Yeah, it's, again, as Mitchell said, 1-0, only conceding 3 goals this season in all competitions.
Did they have the shot on target today or not?
No shot on target for them again today. So that's.
Oh, when I fell asleep, fucking boring game it was.
Shots going to come back, aren't they?
And it would be so satisfying. It would be so satisfying. But yeah, no shot on target in the last three Premier League games. Arsenal fans can't really complain. I think Arteta is using his substitutes well. Gyökeres, again, you can't fault his actual work and his willingness to run down the channels and be a nuisance and be physical. Didn't really get a sniff at goal today, but I'm not going to complain. I think he's doing his job. So
I think you've mentioned before though, Clive, and I think it was even more obvious in this game that you're really not playing to his strengths. I'm not saying that's bad thing,
no,
like at all, because you're obviously getting him to do a certain job, which he's obviously doing quite well. But like in terms of when I see him getting onto the ball, it was normally trying to run in behind people, and that's not really where his strengths would be, as like, especially against that defence, I suppose.
No, you kind of, again, I don't know if it's the Premier League as well, because so many teams do play that low block. Like for me, I see him as being the typical number 9 in the box.
Yeah.
Us getting balls down the wings and getting balls in. But no, we have him running in behind, running the channel a lot. And as I say, he's doing that. He's putting the effort in. He's got 5 goals in 13 games, which isn't terrible.
Better than any West Ham player, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, nearly better than the whole of the West Ham team. But
yeah, okay, Clive, thank you. Yeah,
but yeah, there's the only thing I would say is at times I don't think we put the ball into dangerous areas enough today, and it looked like we'd played the Thursday night and Palace had played the Tuesday night. For me, we had 2 extra days rest, so surely we should have the energy, surely we should be setting the pace of the game, and I think Palace did that today. So that's something we need to improve on. But we won ugly, and as I say, like we didn't look like we was going to concede a goal. I didn't fear at any point that here we go, they've got a chance here, which is, yeah, it's so relaxing to have that mentality watching your team play football. So
with that game, Clive, obviously you mentioned, I didn't watch the Arsenal game, but you mentioned that they had a bit of the ball and, you know, they got in some areas, but they weren't really dangerous and no shot on target. Do you reckon if you come across another team that plays like that, that is going to be, do you reckon it's going to be tough for you, or do you reckon you'll still be comfortable? I know your defence is still really good at the moment.
I mean,
but do you reckon you think some areas in that game that you could have improved on if we come to against a better team?
It's hard to say, because we played Atletico in the week, and other than David Raya giving the ball away, they didn't look like they was going to score. Last weekend against Fulham, they didn't look like, and again, Fulham's not a top team. From an arguments point of view, the only top team we've played that have scored is Man City, and it was Haaland. Obviously, Liverpool with a wonder free kick. But we've played, like, if you look at our fixtures that we've played, Crystal Palace are a quality team this season.
Oh, yeah.
And Mateta's bang on form, scored a hat trick in the last game. We've played Liverpool, we've played City, we've played West Ham. We've played United. We've played a lot of like I it's hard to see. Like, I don't know what other teams come and challenge us defensively. I think
for you guys,
I don't think Tom, honestly, without just trying to stroke the fire, I don't see Richarlison, I don't see Matthews Tell, and I don't see the lad that played today causing them an issue.
Van Leven, though, on the other hand.
Set pieces, maybe. Maybe. You've got 2 goals from set pieces today, but
I think this is why I think Arsenal are going to win the league. I think these are the games that last season you would have lost. And I think you made that point when you played West Ham. Mm-hmm. Like it's, yeah, these are the games last season you definitely would have probably struggled or dropped points, like especially this kind of game against Palace where it was quite hard for you guys to break them down or whatever. Yeah. Like
hard to get.
You definitely would have dropped points. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, our next game is Burnley. If we win that, after 10 games, we're sitting on 25 points. And we've gone away to United. We've gone away to Liverpool. We've played City at home. That, to me, was a cracking start to the season. Played Newcastle away as well. So, yeah. But it's hard to see what teams are really going to stretch that defence at the moment.
End of November.
Maybe Chelsea, yeah.
That's going to be your tester. End of November, you got Spurs, Bayern Munich, Chelsea.
Yeah, November's pretty much Christmas time though, isn't it? So Chelsea are basically West Ham in November. So.
Yeah, but we beat teams like Arsenal and lose against teams like West Ham.
Harry Kane loves a goal against Arsenal as well. Loves a goal
against
Arsenal.
He does. He's got super form at the moment.
Yeah. But even then, the Champions League, we've looked like we've looked comfortable most games from a defensive point of view. Sometimes it's been a struggle to score goals and make opportunities, but we've just looked comfortable. Right. Yeah. Long may it continue. Hopefully the whole entire season. Hopefully we go through and smash Chelsea's little defensive record.
Was it 15? Was it?
I think it's 15. Yeah. There's a possibility.
That's the one thing we've got. Fuck your fucking Invincible season.
No, you've won every single European championship. Yeah, there we go.
Well, there you go. Yeah. All right.
I'm talking more Prem stats, but yeah. But thank you, Bob. Thanks for bringing it up.
I mean, that's
me done on Arsenal anyway, boys. So anything else?
No.
No, not really.
Come on, the Arsenal. Talk about Spurs, Luke.
Oh, good old Tottenham, eh? Lost last week. I weren't here.
First team to win at the new Everton Stadium. There you go. There's something for you to put on a DVD.
Yeah, that was good. I didn't even realise until after the game when they said it. I won't even pay attention to it, to be fair. It was Everton.
So the 2025-2026 season, Tottenham's highlights. First team to beat Leeds at home for a year. First thing to beat Everton at their new stadium.
I'm glad that you're keeping these stats, Clive. Thank you very much.
I'll keep them all for you, Luke. I like to remember history, you know?
I'm well aware. I took some screenshots recently of some bits as well for Arsenal, but I forgot to bring them for the podcast. But I'll bring it for next time for the stats. It's always fun. I think it was to do with
Jared Bowen and Saka. That was one you posted.
Was it like 20 corners or something like that? I saw some stat about 20 something or in like a season. I can't remember. There was some weird stat about corners in Arsenal.
That we'd love to score from them.
Exactly. Well, goals, isn't it? Who wins your games?
Exactly what wins games, goals. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Tottenham.
The Tottenham game. Where the fuck do I start? Away from home is always going to be tough because that's always the way. With games, and they've got new stadiums, they're buzzing a bit. They looked dangerous a few times in the game. Vicario made some great saves in that game. I was surprised, but he still scares me at corners and set pieces. He reminds me of Jason Statham in Mean Machine. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. I didn't have that on my bingo today.
Yeah, the monk, Clive. Hold on. Yeah, the monk. It's like, it just reminds me where he comes right out and just like, it's crazy. That's what he does, some crazy shit. He's doing some Superman punches in this game.
The punches. Like, the punches.
It just scares me so much. But then he makes some crazy, like, super reaction saves. I'm like, it's got a split personality, this guy. He's fantastic at certain bits and terrible at others. I don't know if I like him or hate him at the same time. I don't know. And fans.
It's divided.
He's I don't know with him. I don't know. But he's
part of the leadership team as well, isn't he?
But it was. It was a great result, 3-0. I'll take it.
The third goal as well. Richarlison's little header over the top.
That was a nice little assist there.
And the ball from Porro was very good.
He's pretty good at that. But we've said this before, haven't we? Like he's like set pieces
attacking is good.
Attacking is good. It's just his defending is a bit sketchy. I'm going to name Brennan Johnson, who I felt didn't weigh him on the pitch. I don't know if you watched the game, but he did fuck all.
I had a couple of crosses making dinner. So.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the last one, did he? I wonder if something's going on there.
They asked him in the press. They asked Thomas Frank in the press as to why he weren't starting when he was our top goalscorer last season, and he mentioned about obviously players that are just on form, and I don't know. He seems to have a structure at the moment that he wants to play. Same for they keep questioning about Pellini, Bentancur, two defensive midfield players every week instead of like Saar in there, who was our best player in pre-season, and just before that, he was our best player, a defensive midfield player. And you saw today that he gets around and he gets goals.
What I'd say about like Saar coming on and getting a goal is it's at a stretch point in the game where Everton
are still
trying to get back in the game, and it's a killer blow.
It opens up a bit of space for us. I think
Bentancur and Paulinho is probably your best midfield. And I think it is too defensive at times when you're at home against like lesser teams, shall we say. But I think when you're away to Everton, it wouldn't bother me seeing Paulinho and Bentancur.
And it worked today. Like Paulinho getting that block that was going in from, I can't remember, he took the shot on the Everton player's game. It was going in. He blocked that. Bentancur was fucking phenomenal. He was my man in the match. I know Van de Ven. I know Van de Ven got the two goals, but Bentancur was all over the place. His ability on the ball and his awareness, so good in this game. I was so happy with it. He's tracking back, his calmness on the ball. He was so good in this game. And I think he's one of those players that are not quiet, but they get the job done so well that they can sometimes not stand out, if that makes sense, in the game.
It's a bit like Gilberto Silva used to do. Gilberto Silva was an unsung hero for Arsenal. Patrick Vieira got all the accolade.
Exactly. And the assist with his shoulder as well. Oh, my God. That was... I don't know if he meant it or not. It looked like he did, but...
Assist of the season, are you saying?
I don't think so.
It was last season, Van de Ven, wasn't it?
Goal of the season as well. Yeah, that run for
Van de Ven. That was a good run. That was a fucking hell. That was a great run for Van de Ven.
There was no one in front of him.
Against United, a really bad United. But
away from home, we played the Thomas Frank football. Like we didn't play the Spurs.
Yeah, time wasting from throws.
The defensive and then counter attack, and then just I'm fine with that. I think, considering from last season, like for now, before you guys go on me, because we need teams are dropping like around us at the moment. Teams are dropping points. Teams that you're not expecting to drop points at the moment are dropping points. If Tottenham go gung ho and go away from home, okay, we play the full on attacking and then we get beat. Yeah, we've now dropped points when the other teams around us have dropped points. Like if we win this game today, which we did. We go back up. Are we in top four now? Are we third. But it would change again. But that's what we needed. If we lost today, it would have hurt.
If this was last time last season, you would have lost that game 4-3.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. And you look at the table, and I'm not going to blow smoke up Spurs' ass or anything like that. But you look at the table, as you say, big teams that you'd expect to win today lost over the weekend. Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea. Villa have now won four on the bounce, including beating Spurs and Man City.
Yeah, they're on form again.
They're same points as Liverpool. The top four is going to be anyone's if it stays this inconsistent. You would expect Bournemouth and Sunderland to drop off, right? I think Spurs to get the result at this weekend as well to keep that momentum going or get the momentum back after losing to Villa.
I'm happy with that. Yeah, it weren't great football. You need to grind those games out sometimes, especially away from home. And we got the win. I can't complain about it. Like, if Spurs fans are like, oh, we didn't play the Spurs football, boring football. Again, I will take that for
careful,
now.
Careful what you wish for. You might end up in the relegation zone. You might go from European Conference winners.
I told you. Who said it the other day about Arsenal? Honestly, it's all going to go downhill for all of you fuckers at some point if you want to play the Spurs way or the Arsenal way or whatever.
I think it's, be careful what you wish for, Luke.
Just be careful, mate.
We'll see what happens. But I think why Thomas Frank can get his bearings at the Spurs team, make the squad that he wants, have a transfer window in January, have the transfer window in August, September-ish, wherever they tend to do it at, have that window, get his team pre-seasoning, get Kulo, Madison back, Solanke back. I think next season, if he can get... I don't think... It'd be tough to get top four this season. Yeah.
I'm thinking less and less now.
I know, but I just feel like Man City will go on a spree like they fucking do. Chelsea will drop off. Man United, they seem to be coming up as well. I know we haven't mentioned them. They seem to find a bit of form at the moment.
They're only one point behind, they can creep back up.
At this point, Arsenal are fucking sleeping well. Yeah, Arsenal are sleeping well right now because they're just playing their football that just seems to work. While everyone else around them is just dropping points and fighting. You know, and that's what could happen now, where Arsenal could just keep going, and teams at the moment just I don't want it to happen, but it could happen.
It's never putting pressure on them.
No, that's it. I think that's it. Everyone just seems to be scrambling at the moment with the game.
It's a bit like last season for Liverpool. Arsenal were just consistent. Yeah. We're consistently grinding out results.
Yeah.
Nobody else has got that consistency at the moment.
And that's it. And I think with Thomas Frank, if he's got the squad playing at the ZR at the moment, where it's boring, but we're not making mistakes to goals. You know, we're not getting chances and not scoring them.
It's a 3-0 boring though.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah, it wasn't. You gave Everton chances as well. That would be the worry for Tottenham fans. More like you said with Arsenal, more attacking, exactly, better attacking teams maybe will punish you.
Oh, they're going in. Yeah, they're going because the teams, Grealish, if he released that ball sooner, or quicker, probably is the easier word, if he released that ball quicker, they would have had more chances. But he kept holding on the ball way too long, and he does that quite a lot. Yeah. And it gave our team players to come back in position. And then there was a few times he made decent balls and they had chances. But overall performance, I can't complain. Brennan Johnson, though, pissed me off because I expected more for a right winger. When Kudos was doing a lot of the running, a lot of the tracking back, and Brennan Johnson just seemed to just float about, do fuck all. That frustrated me a lot. So I don't know. He does that, but he can get goals. He can do some bit of magic and finish. I just think stick him up front. If he ain't going to track back, stick him up front. We know he can finish. He's got pace. Just stick him up there.
I don't.
I know you're going to do it. We've got Kulo and Richarlison. He's not going to do it. But
even if those players are injured, I just don't think Brendan Johnson's ever going to be like for a Thomas Frank as well, where he's going to want a striker to hold the ball up. I don't see Brendan Johnson doing that job.
But then no one is at the moment. Like Kulo was decent today, but he's been trying to get minutes in, so that's why he came off. Richarlison come on, he did the job, got the assist, and he can hold. I mean, he had a chance as well. He should have scored.
Yeah, the one-on-one Pickford might do a good save. Yeah,
he'd make a good save, but he should have just either squared it to Bergvall or he should have just lobbed the keeper. But instead, he went for power. But in that moment, you know, it's just quick, isn't it? You never think too much. But that's why the best strikers like Kane. I'm putting Kane out there, but they would have finished that. It's going in.
Nine times out of ten,
he's scoring, and that's what we're lacking for us at the moment is a prolific striker. Even if they're going to get us 15 goals, I'll take it right now because that's 15 goals. The Richarlison and Kulo's not giving us, and Slank is injured, so I don't care who it is. Someone needs to be giving us 15 goals up top. That's a win. I'll take it compared to last week, which I won't need to moan about. So thank you for covering me last week.
You're welcome. I had
a pleasure.
A lot of fun doing it.
Oh, covering
you for a Spurs loss.
I was laughing my ass off, honestly, from you guys from last week, especially the impression of me, which was a terrible impression.
I think it was bang on.
It's uncanny. I thought you was here, to be honest.
I thought it was bang on.
Big kids.
Anyone else on Spurs?
No, not on Spurs, but I just want to say, if because you were just talking about Arsenal and being consistent and all of that, if they do end up winning the title, which, sorry, Mitch, Luke, I don't want to think about it the same as you guys, but would that be a great example of you should stick with a manager, you should stick with the system for all of these years? Would that be a great example of that rather than take the stance?
Do you know what? I think a greater example of that is United at the moment as opposed to Arsenal, because I don't think Arsenal have necessarily stuck with in that sense, because they have been consistently good. The question was
the first two seasons with Arteta, we finished eighth.
Yeah, but that was in line with where you were before, really, wasn't it? You'd had those drop-off years. If anything, he's got that and built from there.
But I would say, like, and I've said on the podcast, Arteta was very lucky during COVID that there wasn't fans in the stadium, because I think at the time there was results that would have, if there's fans in the stadiums, got the board thinking about, hang on a minute, is he the right man for the job?
Mm.
But I agree. I really do agree, Bob. And maybe if United keep sticking with Amorim, they're only three bad results away from everyone turning on him again.
I'm surprised that they've stuck with him for as long as they have done, considering the record he has versus the two that came before him. But it's paying off now.
Yeah, but they got a different sporting director. Yeah, they got a different sporting director, and they got things changing. And there's, I think there was an interview the other day. Was it Radcliffe?
Didn't he say
like look, we've given him what, 3 years or whatever it is, because we can't just keep changing managers.
But he used Arteta as the example.
But it is a case of, and we've said this before, giving managers time. Sometimes it is a case of.
There's a difference as well with giving managers time, because, and I said it the whole time with Arteta, is Arsenal fans could see what he wanted to do. Arsenal fans could see the identity, could see what he was trying to implement. With certain other managers, let's say Ange, for instance, at Tottenham, you could see what he was trying to do. But it was never going to work in the Premier League.
I also think as well with examples like that, and I think with our board and also Spurs' board or ex-board and whatever, I also think there's a way that they deal with it as well. Like, I don't think it's solely the manager's responsibility. I think it's down to the club as a whole to get behind them as well. And I don't think West Ham especially do a very good job of that in terms of trying to get behind them.
I think I said it again last season when it was Tottenham and Ange. The club has to come, and I said it, I think Arsenal did it with Arteta. The club has to come out and say, this is going to be a couple of years. Like, don't expect miracles overnight.
Yeah.
Jim Radcliffe has now done with United.
Exactly. And everyone shuts the fuck up.
Yeah. This kills it dead.
It kills it. Yeah. And the media's a joke, because the media's the one also, like, putting that little...
Every little string to
piss. Look at Ange at Nottingham Forest. Like, he's come there.
It is a bad appointment.
Marinakis was going on, but it was a bad appointment. But as soon as he got there, they were on his case straight away. Like, I think it's the first press interview and in the second one it was just non-stop.
One of the things that I heard about the whole, the press getting on the back as well, if you listen to Forest fans on TalkSport or other radio stations, they all turned around and said Nuno, and who was the manager before Nuno? Was it Steve Coppell? I can't remember.
Steve Cooper.
They both got endeared themselves with the Forest fans. They both got on with they made themselves go out there and get in with the Forest fans. Ange didn't try and do that.
He doesn't do that though. That's the thing with Ange. He doesn't even talk to the players properly, does he? He just does the tactics.
I know, mate. It's I'm the boss. It's who I am, mate. Yeah. And that's so for Forest, it's just a completely wrong appointment. Sean Dyche, that's a Forest appointment that I think will work in the long run. I know they lost.
I know they lost today.
Yeah. They beat Porto in the Europa League or conference or whatever. So yeah, like, I just think that the Poch, that he should never have gone in at Forest. And I said it all last season, he's not a Premier League manager. He should not be managing in the Premier League.
No, he's tactics for the Premier League.
He's just too naive.
Wacky, yeah. It's great to see. Like, it's great to see the football, like the quick football, the passing and the Ange ball. But on the back end, it's like, well, you've got to defend, mate. You know, you've got to defend. You've got to not concede. You've got to play as a structure and a team that can play the whole game, you know, of that structure, not just 90 minutes of attack, and just worry about Van de Ven to catch back up. Nottingham Forest had the same. Like, you watch their games, and it was the same thing. It was just he got them to play this football, and it's just not working for him. And they're already in a position where they're already annoyed, Forest, with the Nuno situation. I don't know. So hopefully Sean Dyche, if he can...
I wouldn't be sad about... Like, I'd be sad for Sean Dyche because I actually think he's a good guy, but I wouldn't be sad to see Forest go down. Totally honest.
Especially, the way that they've treated... Yeah.
There's just no class. There's no class there. Like, Nuno and Poch. Like, Poch has gone within 18 minutes of the Chelsea result, which is just bonkers. And apparently when Martin O'Neill was at Forest, he announced a new manager before he even let Martin O'Neill know that he was out the door. So
it's a knob.
it's just bonkers.
It's a knob. The Premier League is cutthroat nowadays.
It's a business.
It's a billion pound business. It's a business. And Bob, I wish we saw more managers stay and give a chance. But the reality is clubs want to make money. They want instant success. Yeah, it's just that. And yeah, Arsenal. You know, they stuck with Arteta and it seems to have worked for him and they seem to be happy. And, yeah, I know last season they got pissed off because of Champions League and stuff, but at the end of the day, like, the South fans have been in this season were like, well, if you don't win much or do much this season, he's got to be gone.
I think the most of that is outside noise as well.
It's media and
opposition fans. I had a conversation with someone in another WhatsApp group who said, oh, he's now spent half a billion or near a billion or however much he spent.
Yeah, that was bringing
up, bro. He's got to win something this season. And it's like, well, like, Chelsea spend that every fucking transfer market. So why has Maresca not got to win it this season?
Liverpool
spent that this year alone. Why is it not pressure on them to...
Chelsea. I mean, I look at Chelsea as a prime example. Not so much, you know, like, but in previous years of, you know, just recycling managers after the... And like Mitchell, you'd even admit that, obviously. Like, that has happened quite a lot.
Yeah, but we do it for us because it works for us. Unfortunately, I don't agree with it, but it works for us. I'd have to get the stats up, but if you look at Chelsea's history of when we win trophies, is normally...
They've usually sacked the manager.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I just think it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, is it? I just think... And it's not the way that, you know, if... And I know... Obviously, if West Ham won the Premier League after we sacked Nuno, for example, I wouldn't be fucking saying this. I'd be like, hey, fuck that prick. But, like, you know, like, for me, as a club, I would rather my club was quite, like, ethical about it and, you know, actually kept with a manager.
Showed a bit of class about it.
Rather than sacking a manager and then winning a trophy. Like, that just, I don't know. I just say, don't feel good. They are classless.
But have a bit of decorum about it. Like, Chelsea, when we do sack manage, we handle it very well. There's always a very nice... Hang on. Compared to Nottingham Forest, there's always very nice press.
I mean, that's a low bar.
But that is horrific how he deals with it. It's a punch up in the tunnel and fuck off, you're gone. And then a little Twitter post there. Yeah.
And sorry, and also, just to say, speaking from West Ham experience as well, we have dealt with our past two managers leaving absolutely dreadfully. And that's mainly where that question is coming from.
Again, your owners are terrible, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it's been awful. And I really hope that, after the past couple of seasons, because I feel like it's been a thing for ages, hasn't it? Like a football manager is just one of those jobs that just seems like the hardest job ever, and it's just the way that it goes, and everyone accepts that that's the fact.
The thing I would say in defense of the clubs and the owners is the managers are getting like £7 million payoffs. So
Why is me?
I've
never had a problem with it.
Just 39 days of work.
On the £1 billion sort of thing, I hate defending Arsenal. I hate them. I really do. It's the worst thing. Yeah, I don't know why I'm bringing this up. I should just shut the fuck up. But I'm bringing it up because I feel like it is always a thing to dig at Arsenal with spending that sort of money. And I know Chelsea spend that sort of money all the time, but you've got to look at the times when the money was spent as well. So if you go back, like Arsenal spent over what, a period of 5 years or whatever it is, of spending that, Chelsea would spend that in one season. But back then when Chelsea won everything and the Abramovich money and everything else, teams weren't spending that sort of money from memory. Like, don't hold me to this, but I swear teams weren't spending that sort of money because it wasn't there. Like, that money was, you spend like 60 million on a player and maybe 20 million on another player and 10 on another. Chelsea come in and went, 100 million here, 50 million here, 60 million, 70 million.
That doesn't
make a player better.
No, it doesn't make a player better, but you could do that. You were the only team that was doing it at the time and bought all these great players. Man City did it as well when they got their money. Now Newcastle have got the sort of money to do.
Chelsea started it, and that's why everyone hates Chelsea.
Well, this is it. I feel like teams are now getting this sort of money now to be able to spend the £1 billion. So teams, it's harder to win.
With Arsenal as well, is they've never spent on what they think's overvalue as well. We've pulled out of deals where we do think that clubs are
just a couple of pound extra.
Yeah, even a couple of pound extra. We've pulled out of deals because we don't value the player that high. Like, you look at signing Victor Gyökeres for 65 million. That is how much we valued him at. Sporting Lisbon tried to get more money for him. No, luckily for us, he desperately wanted to join us, but I think our first pick was Benjamin Sesko. Yeah. We had a deal in principle for him around about the £65 million mark. How much did United end up spending on him? 85.
So, and that's the thing. If it was Chelsea, we'd pay more.
Yeah, you'd pay 105 for him.
Yeah, they loaned him out. Yeah.
Do you even have scouts? Like, do you just say, do you just go, who's worth the
Arsenal
most?
It's called Arsenal FC. Yeah. We go in for a player and Chelsea go, he went for us.
I think the dig is a bit unnecessary on that, just because of the teams. I think if you look at the teams that are spending money over the last 5 years, everyone's still quite high, and I assume there's like a million, 100 million, 200 million between it, which isn't a lot.
Yeah, like it's one player.
Exactly. So I feel like that shouldn't be a stick. It should be.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Arteta has had time, and I've said it this season. I do fear for him if he doesn't win a major trophy this season. At the moment, it's looking like it's the best chance we've had in years, is all I say.
At this point,
it's the best chance we've had.
I cannot see anyone, especially after, I was having this conversation with my nephew actually yesterday, because my nephews are Arsenal fans.
What legends.
But they were saying that they think City are going to win the league because, like, they just didn't want to say that Arsenal were going to win it, I think. And do you know what? I was thinking at some point, maybe City will, because they've obviously had Rodri back. I still don't know whether he's back yet or not. Is he back now?
I don't know if he plays.
Because he definitely got a knock, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I can't see it. I've watched Arsenal most weeks now because they just seem to be on the fucking TV all the time, don't they? And I just can't see anyone really.
Not in the squad today at all, so he's still out.
Yeah, I can't see any team.
I just think, like I said, it's the consistency thing this season, right? Liverpool were the most consistent team last season, won the league. At the moment, we're looking like we're going to be the most consistent team this season. It's hopefully the same result.
What is consistency?
Well, there's a myth. I don't see, and this is me jinxing it massively. I don't see us losing four games, and I certainly do not see us losing four games on a bounce.
I don't see you losing on a bounce. Four games lost just depends on when it happens. Like, if it's like after an international break
and then you can't, get a shit injury
with a squad, I can't see us losing four games. Like, we've lost one. I can't see us losing another three games.
How many did you lose last season?
End of November.
I think four in total last season. Four, maybe five. We drew a lot.
Fair point.
But even those, even those games, none this season really. So tells you something, doesn't it? Anyway, let's go into Man versus AI. We're making up for last week's 45-minute episode by going an hour and 15.
Sorry, guys. You got an extra pod. On this one.
Yeah, so Mitchell, do the noise, please. Man
versus AI. I can't remember it, you know.
There you go. Thank you.
I keep going to say boo, bee, bee, boo. But yeah, that's not right, is it?
I was disappointed last week, Mitchell.
I know. It was shocking.
It was shocking last week. Right, so it's got two West Ham predictions. So it predicted West Ham to beat Brentford 2-1. Did not get that right. Got 0 points for that. Bob also predicted a 2-1 win against Brentford. Got 0 points on that result. Then we would go into game week 9, where AI predicted a 2-1 West Ham win against Leeds. 0 points. Predicted a 3-0 Chelsea win against Sunderland. Got 0 points. Predicted a 2-0 Arsenal win. Got 1 point. Predicted a 2-1 Tottenham point win. Got 1 point.
Can I just confirm, right? I checked ChatGPT after we lost against Brentford and AI had changed it to 2-1 Leeds. So thank fuck we done it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. So Bob predicted a 1-1 West Ham Leeds result. Got 0 points. I don't know why Mitchell's laughing because he
predicted, 2-1. I got it right.
A 2-1 Chelsea win. Got 0 points.
A couple of times.
Luke, unlucky fucking today with Spurs scoring the first.
I'm just unlucky, mate. It was close.
And predicted a 2-0 win. Got 1 point. Clive predicted a 2-1 win. Got 1 point. So the table currently stands at humans on 23, AI on 20. So still a slender lead. Mitchell, 8 points. Clive, 7 points. Luke, 5 points. Bob, 3 points.
How the tables have turned, bitches.
Luke, it's 2 points, mate. I'm not even taking this serious this year because you won't do the forfeit anyway, so no one cares.
You are not allowed to banter. You're not allowed.
This is for AI.
At this point, you're not allowed any banter. Like until you do a forfeit.
Can we put the AI picture of Luke on?
Yeah, we'll do that at some point for sure.
You're not getting out of it.
Right, so
you're going to put my body with an Arsenal shirt on.
Did you not see Bob's creation? It's genius.
No. I
sent it in the group chat.
Yeah, in the group.
I ignored that. I blanked it. We
just reposted, Bob.
Yeah, I still ignore it, don't worry.
Right, so what's the first fixture of the weekend? We got a taste.
Wait, did I do that?
Well, we was asked together and we tried one. It didn't work very well and we tried a different software and it was perfect because you had it on your phone.
I did remember that. It was the one where I'm laying down on the beanies and
you're going like that and you got your ass
right, so
you dickheads.
Arsenal Burnley's the first game of the weekend. Arsenal are away from home, so
come on Burnley.
I'm going to go confident. I'm going to 3-0 Arsenal.
You're going to lose that 1-0.
You said we were going to draw.
Glorious, Mitch.
Right, and then it is a London derby. A London is derby as well. Tottenham versus Chelsea. Tottenham at home. So, Luke, please.
We've got
what time's the kickoff, guys?
It is 5:30.
This is a bad time to play Chelsea. We've got a shit record at home right now, and we've got a shit record against Chelsea. We haven't beat him in. I'm going to say 2-1 Chelsea.
Oh my God.
He's predicted a loss.
I can't believe it.
That's changed everything for me.
It's
a reverse jinx. I just can't believe it. They're going to win now.
Look, remember that Chelsea are shit.
Well, Chelsea are shit, but have you seen Tottenham's stats? Just Google Tottenham's stats against Chelsea. It's ridiculous.
I'm looking at them right now.
Okay.
What does it say, Mitch?
Can I get your prediction?
We've won the last four against you.
Can I get your prediction, Mitch?
I think it's going to be one of those games. I think it's going to be back and forth. I'm going to go 3-2 Chelsea.
High scoring game.
going for it.
We've got Tottenham to score two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you seen our defence? And
West Ham have Newcastle at home, Bob. What are you saying?
Fucking hell. I'm going to go 4-1 Newcastle.
Wow. That's more of a shock than
mine. Wow, that is out of here. Bob is Luke. I mean, at least he's predicting losses.
That's true.
Right, AI. I'm going to get talks amongst you. This is the point you can fucking talk amongst yourself, right?
You couldn't even spit in words out.
We don't
want
to talk to each other now because we know it hurts you, Clive.
You did beat us in 2023, Luke.
AI's predictions are in, boys. Stop talking.
We can't talk about us. We need to get us half a second to
stop
talk
talking,
ourselves.
Bob. Stop talking. I'm not going to make any points because AI has also predicted a 3-0 Arsenal win.
God bless him.
It has predicted a 2-2 draw in the London Derby, Tottenham v Chelsea. And it's predicted a 1-1 Newcastle West Ham, which is bonkers.
What?
West Ham.
I could make some points here. I bet we fucking win. Just could. Piss me off.
Yeah.
How are you going to win 1-0? Who's at home?
West Ham. Who's looking it up?
I just said West Ham right home.
Don't
make excuses. Some very good Google searches like last week's ones, mate.
Jesus Christ. You do get a lot of draws against them when you're at home.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the last time you won when you were at home was 2019.
Yeah, they're different times, weren't they?
Right. That's it, boys. Very, very good episode. Last words, Mitchell?
Mitchell.
Last words, Bob?
Netball.
Last words, Luke?
Hentai.
I was going to say it's good to have you back, but fuck it.
That's brilliant. Last words,
it's the first thing that...